Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Luke's Gospel account, 14th chapter. Beloved of the Lord, God's children are his baptized children. Israel was baptized in the Red Sea. You were baptized in water, the Word. God's children are his baptized children. And as his baptized children, the Lord sets before you today life and death, good and evil. Not to tempt you, for the Lord tempts no one, but to teach you that there is always a way from God. And in the end, that way leads to eternal death. Jesus is the only way to God. And wherever Jesus goes, there is life and all good. The waters of baptism is life because Jesus is in the waters of baptism. There is life and there is all good in this place. Not because we're here, but because Jesus is here with his life-giving gifts. So with the multitudes in our text, we go where Jesus goes. For wherever Jesus goes, there is life and there is good as we live in a world that is surrounded by death and evil. Following Jesus, we learn the way to God and the way of God. His way leads through death and the grave unto eternal life. His way is good. You've been baptized into his way. This past Thursday, a little child, Landon, was baptized his way. Thus baptized of God, you are disciples of Jesus. There are no disciples that are not baptized. It's God's will that his baptized follow Jesus, so that following Jesus, faith in Jesus is strengthened, and love toward one another is nurtured. Following Jesus leads to eternal life. That's the good way set before you this morning. There is another way, a way in which we're all tempted by the devil, the world, and even our own sinful nature. It's the way that we would love to walk, for it's the way that we would walk by sight. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words, but whose words are they? Walking by sight means walking really by our own words, our own understanding, our own perceptions and interpretations. We walk this way or that way because it looks good, is attractive to the eyes, pleases the senses, stimulates the mind, invigorates the flesh. In other words, because it makes us feel alive. It seems right. Jesus calls us out in our text this morning when he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Our contemporary ears are scandalized by these words. Followers of Jesus are called to hate. And worse than that, we're called to hate that which God has commanded us in his holy law to love and honor. Think on these things, beloved. Our text this morning is not about our coming to our parents, about our coming to Jesus. Following Jesus, being Jesus' disciple. Of all those in our life, who would we most likely be tempted to love more than Jesus? Who would we most likely put before Jesus and his way? Family and loved ones can quickly become idols in whom we see our life and all good. Today, Jesus sets before you himself and your loved ones. Who alone leads to eternal life? Who will you follow? Who will you love above all others? Who is your source of all joy and happiness? Truly, families are good, and from families come new life, the next generation. But these don't lead to life. They flow from it. For Scripture teaches us every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Disciples of Jesus are to be followers of Jesus, not followers of the world, not followers of our families, not followers of our friends or our neighbors or whatever vocation has been given to us. But all that we parent or child, husband or wife, friend or neighbor, employer or employee flow from our following Jesus? Or is our following Jesus dependent on how such following fits in with our time and our relationships? When it comes to being a disciple of Jesus, beloved, there is no equating the love that we have for others with the love that we owe Him. Where we have failed, we are called to change. Where we have wandered off, we are called to return. Where we have set down our cross, stopped building the tower, disengaged from the battle against sin, death, and devil, we must repent. To be the Lord's baptized children means to be His disciples. To be His disciples means to follow where He leads, as He leads, when He leads, no matter the temptation to do otherwise. To follow Jesus as His disciple is to share in Jesus' life. His life was given you as a gift under the waters of your baptism through His Word. That's what made you His disciple. That's what made you His dearly loved child. Under that water, you were crucified with Christ, and you were raised with Christ. The Holy Spirit was generously poured into your heart, and you were quickened to faith and newness of life under Him. His life, the life given on the cross, was given to you under that water, and your sin and death that you deserve, that I deserve, that we all deserve for eternity, were taken away from you, were taken by Him. What was old is made new. What was sinner is made righteous. What was dead is resurrected. A great and mighty miracle was wrought beneath the waters of your baptism, beloved. A wondrous deed was done by God's Spirit-filled Word, and it all happened so quickly, so uneventfully, so gently, that it's easy to forget what happened. So also easy to forget who you are in Christ. For this reason, beloved, that we are called to be His disciples, to continually be coming to Him, to share in His Word, share in His life, share and receive His mercy and His love and His forgiveness. Thus, being a disciple of Jesus isn't a single event. It's a lifelong endeavor. It's not a few minutes or hours a week, but it's a daily drowning of the old under those waters and a daily rising again unto newness of life to God. Being a disciple of Jesus means being where Jesus is. And during the week, that means serving your neighbor with the love and life of Jesus through your vocation. But most importantly, that means regular attendance in the Lord's house on the Lord's day, receiving that love and life of Jesus through word and sacrament. Life, as you well know, is spent during the week. Life is renewed by God's grace through the Word of Christ crucified for you. Thus, the whole life of the believer is one lived in Christ, receiving from Christ His life and His love, and then living that life and love for others. This isn't something that you can just sit idly by, assuming that it will happen all on its own. This isn't something you can even do apart from Christ's Word and sacraments. Jesus likened such a new life to the building of a great and magnificent tower, and the waging of a seemingly unwinnable war. The task is too big on your own. The battle too fierce. You'll never win it by yourself. The temptation then is to quit. To go with the flow. To make terms of peace with the enemy. Too many who would be called Christian are content with such lazy discipleship, putting worldly joys and the comforts of this life before faithfulness to Jesus. To be made a disciple is truly by God's grace and God's grace alone. Salvation doesn't necessitate works on our part, but is given as a gift solely for the sake of Christ alone. But discipleship involves work, building a tower, waging a war. And in no way does our Lord advise us against such labors. But in fact, He sets before us the Christian life of discipleship in our text. Jesus wants disciples. Jesus wants builders and soldiers. That is, those who, upon hearing His words and believing them, then put them into practice. And through easier to follow all of them than to follow Jesus. The easy path will look better, the broad path will seem more exciting, and everyone you know will tell you that this way is the right way. Yet Jesus tells us in our text that following him is like bearing a cross, because Jesus is leading you away from sin and death. Jesus is leading the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way that leads to life eternal. Beloved in the Lord, today our God has set before us the way to life and all good. That way is led by his Son. Where Jesus is, there is life and all goodness. Mm-hmm. And today Jesus is here in our midst leading the way. Mm-hmm. You can't see him. Not the way the world would see him, but we follow him. We walk by faith, not by sight. And the one we follow has given us his word and his supper for the journey. Our ears know his voice. Our hearts burn within us as he forgives all our failures, binds our wounds, strengthens weak knees, and quickens unto newness of life. We can't see him, not the way the world would see him. He is here for our good. Here for our life. Without him, we're lost. Apart from him, we're dead. Where he is not, there is no good. Therefore, beloved, let us not be deceived by the devil, the world, and our flesh, but let us listen to the Savior and heed his words. Build that tower. Fight the good fight of faith. For in him we're more than conquerors. In him we cannot fail. In him we have eternal life and that final victory. So God grant such a life of discipleship. You and me, for all of us.